Text for our sermon this Thanksgiving Eve, our Old Testament reading from Genesis 4, especially these words. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So far our text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The readings, as you heard, all deal with thankfulness. They're great readings for this Thanksgiving Eve. It's clear, isn't it, in Genesis chapter 4, who the thankful brother was? Abel was impacted by the good news of the coming Savior, and he wanted to give. He wanted to give the best of what he had. Cain, though, didn't really care to give the best. He just gave something to keep up appearances. His brother gave, well, he probably should too, right? But he was jealous because it was clear that God accepted Abel's offering and not his. Cain's heart just didn't seem to be in it. And then we've got our epistle reading, the Macedonians. Those people who were extremely poor, and they were giving far more than Paul thought that they would. Contrast that with the Corinthians, who Paul's talking to, writing to. Paul's shaming the Corinthians because they were wealthy, and they didn't want to give. They didn't think they had to. The Macedonians, who were poor, were impacted by the good news of Christ and gave. And our gospel reading, that short reading from Luke 21 about that widow, everybody else is giving these huge gifts in the temple treasury, making a big show of it. And she comes along with 2 copper coins. Most people might laugh at a gift like that being put in the temple treasury. But Jesus commends her. These readings are a reminder of where our thankfulness should be directed. Yes, God commands giving. God loves a cheerful giver, as we see Abel and the Macedonian Christians and that widow. Isn't it Jesus who commends her? Can't you see Jesus sitting there smiling as she puts her 2 copper coins in? Can't you see Jesus smiling as Abel brings forth the best of his flock, the best he has to offer, because he wants to? Can't you see Jesus smiling as those poor Macedonian Christians scrape together whatever they've got and send it on for the relief of the saints impacted by the famine? Jesus loves a cheerful giver. Are we cheerful givers? Well, maybe sometimes. But we know who we are. Cain and Abel, they both knew. The Macedonians, they knew. And the widow, she surely knew who she was. Sinners, all of us. There is no one righteous, no, not even one. Not even us. We've come out on this cold and windy night. We are by nature sinful and unclean. God wants our hearts to be into giving. And our hearts are so into sinning. Out of the heart comes all of the evil that we think and say and do. Out of the heart flows all of that wretchedness. What can we say or do or give to make up for it? Nothing. The best of Abel's gifts couldn't make up for his sins. Those poor Macedonians scraping together whatever they could, that wouldn't make up for their sins. And that widow, putting in all that she had, would not make up for her sins. We don't give to try and get something from God. We don't give because we need something from God, like God to forgive our sins. We know that God is the one who gives. It's appropriate on Thanksgiving to remember that, that God is the one who gives. His heart is always into giving. You see that in the Gospels. Jesus always has time for those around him and is always giving. We see that in the Old Testament. Jesus always gives to the people the gifts they need. He gives them his word and promise over and over again. And he gives them the forgiveness of their sins. God gives. He gave to those Macedonian Christians himself upon the tree that they would be forgiven. That same gift was given to Abel and Cain, and to the widow and the Corinthians, and to you and to I. You cannot outgive God. He gives you all of himself, crucified upon that tree, paying for your sins. God gives, and we receive. That is how it must be. If God gives to you the forgiveness of your sins, and you know how sinful you are, how can you not also respond? That's where our giving comes in. So our stewardship lands with sanctification. It's the what now, after we've been saved. How do we live? Like Abel, like the Macedonians, like that widow. They knew what God had done for them. How could they not give? Even though Cain must have been ridiculing his brother. What are you doing, Abel? Giving the best? Why would you do that? Even though some of the temple treasury must have ridiculed that widow, that's all you've got to give? Even though the Corinthians must have looked down on those poor Macedonians. The people of God want to give. They want to give their first fruits and their best. It might not be the biggest gift comparatively. It's what we've got to give. As Abel, as those Macedonians, as that widow, we also rejoice to give back to God in thanksgiving for what God has done first for us. It's a blessing, isn't it? To trust God enough to give financially. It's a blessing, isn't it? To trust God enough to speak about Jesus to our friends and neighbors. It's a blessing, isn't it? To do for our friends and neighbors, to remind them of the faith that we have, that it's our joy, our privilege to serve and to help whoever and whenever. That's our lives as Christians, isn't it? Abel didn't think he was doing something big or spectacular by giving back to God his first fruits. Those Macedonians weren't bragging and boasting about what they had done, but Paul saw it. That widow didn't make a big scene of giving everything she had. But Jesus saw it. Jesus sees what you give as well, out of the joy of your heart, the cheer of the good news of the gospel. And he smiles that you give back out of thankfulness for all that he has done for you. This Thanksgiving, we do exactly that. We give back because God has given us everything. In his name, amen.